Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelall. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. The South Shore's Morning News continues. Great to have you here. I'm Rob Hackelow with the morning team. We've got our intern, Will, here. And, Will, this is the time of the week where we check in with our tech guy, David Snell, over at Axpart IT in Wareham. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Rob, and good morning, Will.
Morning, David.
All right, so we're going to talk about it. We must talk about it. We've heard a lot about it.
Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, so yes, David Snell said, why not? Let's just join in, right? Let's just pile on. Okay, so let's talk about Threads. And again, this is perhaps a response, right, from Mark Zuckerberg to Elon Musk to take users away from Twitter. Threads.
Yeah, he denies, Meta and Zuckerberg deny that they're specifically targeting Twitter, trying to replace Twitter, but they had the perfect opportunity because with Elon Musk and the controversial changes he's made to that platform, they've been losing users left and right. And Instagram has been the fastest growing social media app ever. They had 100 million users in 2 days, and they're adding about 1 million users per day.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, and Will is saying that that would be your favorite on social media. And it does seem a very popular app, Instagram is, so I guess that's great. But now we've got Threads, but this is all related, right?
Yeah, it's all related. You know, if you have an Instagram account, it's ridiculously easy to sign up for a Threads account. Excuse me. I had an old Instagram account that I had just to do a report on it for Twitter and Instagram back in the day. Yeah. But I never really used it. I have accounts just because I need to stay involved.
Yeah.
So I just logged into that account, and I had my Threads account enabled and signed up within probably a minute.
Okay. So very easy to do, especially if you have Instagram already. This is going to be a simple thing to do, which I guess I imagine probably that's how they already have all these subscribers, perhaps.
Exactly. So it's easy to do it. And also, just because you perhaps don't have an Instagram account, you can use Facebook to create your account, of course, because that's another Zuckerberg product.
All part of one big happy family.
Yeah, one big happy family. Someone who has all of our information to do with as they please.
Wow. Okay, so I have to admit, I was thinking about putting it on the phone, and I didn't get around to it, because I wanted to just see what it looked like. David, have you had a chance to do that? Or
I have. I didn't use Instagram very much. I never used Elon Musk's product. It's a little confusing to me, but then again, I'm a different age group than the folks like Will that would be using this on a regular basis. So I think it might be wiser to ask Will if he has made a Threads account and what he thinks and how it compares.
All right, Will, what do you think? Have you done Threads yet, or are you thinking about it?
I have not yet, but I have considered it from time to time. As I told you, Rob, earlier, I mainly just do Instagram, and I find that one to be I find that one to have, like, less controversy surrounding it and a bit more safer in terms of my privacy.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I could be the dumbest guy here, and I'll admit it, but I just don't understand what I'm seeing some of the... Okay, I just did, in the time we were talking, David, and you were talking to Will, I just downloaded it here because I had it here, and it just says import from Instagram. And
yep.
So it looks like everything just goes in there, and I can be lazy and I don't have to do everything. But I have already seen some of this stuff, I swear, on Facebook or maybe even Twitter. I just don't understand what we need these for. I'm getting confused. How can anybody manage all of these things? Or if you post one place, does it go somewhere else? Or, you know, is there any way to be lazy and just have it go to all of them?
wouldn't you like that? And I'm sure they would as well, especially Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat as you, Rob. I will sit there on a weekend and watch my six-year-old granddaughter with her little tablet wanting to text with Grammy sitting beside her. Now, I'm of old school. You want to talk to somebody, you talk to somebody. Or you pick up a phone, but you don't text them when you're sitting with them. But I see this all the time. You go into a restaurant or a coffee shop, and they're sitting there texting amongst themselves rather than having a conversation. So I don't get it either.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that I'm just out of it. But then again, I do use, I think, my finger to scroll, which I guess means I'm old as well. This just makes me feel worse and worse because I'm not using my thumbs. Are you using your thumbs?
I typically just scroll as well, but...
Okay. Yeah, because I'm just using my pointy figure. I just think that's easy to do it that way. But I don't know. But again, I suppose the main thing is I just don't... What is the reason to have all the different platforms? I mean, can't we just do the same thing on Facebook that we can on Twitter, that we can do on Instagram? It's still a picture and a little story, right?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much that's what it is for Threads. You can post 500 characters, you can share links, you can post photos and videos up to 5 minutes in length.
Okay.
Reply to posts, repost things and all that. So it's pretty much the same as Twitter, but Zuckerberg promises that this will not become a political platform. So if that's one of Will's concerns, this is what they want this not to be. They do not want it to be Twitter with all of the challenges that are there with the users. So this is going to be a nice, friendly place that anyone over the age of 18 can use without all the controversy.
A nice, friendly place. Okay, does that mean they're going to be stopping it? Because it isn't as though Twitter said, I want to be a place, right, for these kind of things. Didn't that just evolve organically, in a sense? Or will people make these what they will? Or no?
They'll try to, but I think that Zuckerberg and his team, Adam Mosseri, who is also the guy who helped with his Threads build-out, they're going to do their best to, I don't want to say control the communications, but to limit challenging or politically challenging or racially challenging, any of the things that Twitter has become. They're not going to want Threads to become that type of a platform.
Oh, but who decides, David? What gets posted?
Isn't that always the question, Rob? Isn't that always the question?
What constitutes, I know. Then we get into all of that category as well. So that just comes with all this stuff. I guess unless you make your own, I guess.
There you go. You and I can make our own.
Just what we need.
And we can use our pointer finger to scroll.
Yeah. It's called Fingers. It's coming. It's a new
Fingers,
app.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Just what we need, another social media account. But anyway, I guess the thing is, let me ask you as well. They're going to try to take users. I know that some of the people that have been upset, at least with the changes at Twitter, is it seems like a lot of the problems are to get you to... I mean, it seems like it's not trying. I mean, it seems blatant that he's trying to make you pay for a higher level because he's taking away things that you enjoyed and made it fun, you know, like that tweet deck that we enjoyed in the news or even when I went to scroll and I had reached, I guess, my limit unknowingly. Is Threads going to just continue to be free then or?
I would like to answer that question in the affirmative, but... These days, you never know. If it can be monetized in any way, they'll find a way to monetize it because they have to pay for the server farms and all the other things that they do, plus the board of directors and Zuckerberg's yacht or whatever else they might be purchasing. So they'll find a way to monetize this in some manner, and hopefully it won't be charging us a monthly fee or some type of a higher-level fee or what have you. Mm-hmm. But that's the word. This is brand new. It's less than a week.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's had today it's got 102 million users. So I think he's made his boat there, and we just need to see what goes from here.
Yeah. I mean, even if, I don't know, I feel like they have nothing to lose, really. But maybe they do in terms of doing this. I don't know, because I feel like they've already got people doing a bunch of other stuff with them already. So I don't know. But I guess if they can do any damage to Twitter, I suppose they like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Elon Musk is not happy about it, but it's going to give us another option, which is, I guess, that's what we need. There are more platforms than I have time to even look at these days. So we'll see where this goes. Zuckerberg has a large following of people with Instagram and now with Threads and with Facebook. So he's well on his way to mastering the universe, I guess you could say.
Wow. All right, David's got the latest on the Instagram's new Threads app, which, as you heard, has already surpassed 100 million users and continues to go up. So, David, where can people go to read more about your blog?
Yeah, so people can go to my website, xsmartit.com, and click on my blog link.
All right, David, xsmartit in Wareham. Thank you, David.
Have a great day.
You too. The South Shore's Morning News, Rob Hackelow with the Morning Team. Every week at this time, Peter Foreman joins us in studio. He is President and CEO of the South Shore Chamber of Commerce. Peter, good morning to you.
Good morning, Rob. Great to be back in studio with you and Will. You know, we're into summer, so I'm continuing the message that we try to preach at the chamber, that South Shore residents are missing a lot if they don't get out and explore the area. There is so much to offer. This past weekend, I took in a new exhibit at Pilgrim Hall Museum in Plymouth, Real Mythic, a new exhibit sponsored by our friend Peter Brown of Tiny and Sons.
Oh, that's great.
And the visit reminded me of the importance that museums can play, not only in Pilgrim Hall's case, not only telling the history of Plymouth, but the museum itself having shaped the contours of Plymouth. So I thought I'd bring on as my guest this morning the executive director of the Pilgrim Society in Pilgrim Hall, Donna Curtin.
Oh, it's wonderful. Donna, good morning.
Well, good morning, Peter. Good morning, Rob. And greetings from historic Plymouth.
It's wonderful. It's always good to talk to you, Donna. And it's been fun, certainly, to broadcast, as I mentioned to you, from the Pilgrim Hall Museum in the past. So let's talk about, I'm excited to hear more, too, about this new exhibit. Tell me what the exhibit's about.
Well, as Peter said, it's called Real Mythic, People of Early Plymouth. And it's really about one of the most popular branches of history, and that is biography. Sometimes when, you know, people go to the library or the bookstore and pick up, or online and pick a book up with a historical topic, it's very often focused on the story of a person. That's a wonderful gateway for people to sort of enter the realm of history. And we thought we would pull that thread and let people know about some of what we know about the actual people who were here in early Plymouth, and also sometimes what we don't know.
Okay, all right, so Real Mythic, and this exhibit is open now?
Yes, we opened, we had a wonderful gala preview on the evening of July 6th, and the exhibit has been open since this weekend. It has some extraordinary and rare artifacts that are on loan, some of them only for a short time. So we really would love people here on the South Shore to be able to see some of these things, because they may not ever get the chance again.
Yeah, that's important to point out. Exactly, Donna. Okay, well, for people that are in the area and might be thinking about exploring more of the South Shore, as we talk about with Peter, taking these day or half-day excursions, and we kind of want to tag on and make the Pilgrim Hall Museum part of our trip, tell us about what else they can see and experience there.
Well, just to speak a little bit more to the exhibit, one of the things that we have on display right now is a tiny little fragment of writing by Plymouth's second and most famous governor, William Bradford, who was really instrumental in the history of that early colony. And we have a scrap of paper about the size of an index card where he wrote, I think, some of the most moving language about early Plymouth. And he's describing what he lived through, what he and his group of English separatists had lived through, basically their sufferings and the hardships they experienced. And he writes in this tiny little piece of paper, it would make your heart ache to remember it. So we have that wonderful document on display with other lovely artwork and video content, both about the history of the English colonists and also the Wampanoag people of early Plymouth. But you must realize, when you come to a place like Pilgrim Hall Museum, you're coming to this lovely little granite temple. You know, Rob, it's positioned right as you come in to downtown Plymouth along the main road there, along Court Street, Main Street. And it's positioned there really very deliberately when it was built in the early 19th century to really be at the entrance of the historic town and to welcome people to its history in a way, to engage it. So we're right smack dab in the middle of the downtown, and I just feel that every inch of our downtown area is just so deeply laden with the past that any time you come and venture down here, there's a story to be found and encountered about our 400-year history and the deeper history of the indigenous people here as well.
Well, that's a lot of history. And so Donna Curtin, the executive director of the Pilgrim Hall, this is the oldest museum in continuous operation, that's correct?
There are others that make the claim. We feel we have a very strong claim to it because, you know, some museums were started before ours, but they haven't continued as long as we have.
Yes.
And we've operated not as a private organization, but as a museum with a public purpose. And actually, that purpose of our sort of our larger organization called the Pilgrim Society, that was founded first in 1820, so a good long time ago. And the first order of business was to build a museum so that this history would have be able to engage the public, that people could come and see the materials that were preserved and learn about the story here.
All right. Well, that would be a good time now to explain, I guess, what is the difference between the Pilgrim Society and the Pilgrim Hall Museum?
Well, it's a little bit like the chicken and the egg, I suppose. The society had to be formed first. That was the group of people who said, hey, our history matters, and we want to get a group of people to raise money. And, you know, how do we commemorate the past? How do we preserve history? So the first thing that they did was to say, we're going to construct a stately edifice. That was the museum. So the museum came second. It has a separate identity as a, you know, it's its own history. It was designed by Alexander Paris, who is a South Shore architect of note, who also did Quincy Market and other significant buildings in our region. And they brought in the best and the brightest to design the museum back in 1824. And it's had its own sort of trajectory. So the two entities are really one and the same, but one had to come first in order to create the other.
All right. And what's ahead for the museum and some of the upcoming programs and the future for Pilgrim Hall Museum?
Well, we'll be celebrating our 200th anniversary of the museum next year. And we would really like to kind of look back at what the museum has accomplished in those two centuries. When folks come down to Plymouth, they very often will go to our historic waterfront. And people really enjoy that area, and they connect with the past because it's been laid out and presented to them in a way that they can just kind of absorb it all around them. But a lot of that was done through the work of this organization, the Pilgrim Society and Pilgrim Hall Museum. For generations, the society dedicated itself to saying, we're going to acquire parcels of land on the waterfront, and we are going to... basically, they cleared them of buildings. At that time, there were a lot of industrial buildings down in the waterfront. So we have these spaces that reflect and remind us more of that earlier period, like Coles Hill. If you've ever gone down to see the 4th of July fireworks and you've sat on the hill, you can thank the Pilgrim Society and Pilgrim Hall Museum because we purchased that land piece by piece, probably over the course of almost a century, and then donated it to the Commonwealth so people could enjoy it.
Well, that's great, and it's always wonderful, Donna, as you talk about, to appreciate the efforts of others so that we can enjoy today. And Donna Curtin is the executive director of the Pilgrim Society and Pilgrim Hall, and we invite people to check out the Pilgrim Hall Museum and the new special exhibit, Real Mythic. And you can find out more at pilgrimhall.org. And again, explore your own backyard. Donna, thank you.
Thank you, and thanks to our friend Peter Brown of Tiny and Sons, and Peter Foreman as well.
You got a lot of great Peters here. That's amazing. Thank you, Donna.
Take care now.
Bye-bye. And Peter Foreman, South Shore Chamber of Commerce. We'll talk to you next week, southshorechamber.org. Thanks,
Peter.
All right,
Peter. Rob. Thanks.
WATD, the South Shore's morning news continues. I'm Rob Hackelow with the morning team, and it's time now to focus our attention on the pet world, our Paws and Claws segment. We do it every week at this time. And this week, our special guest is Erin Ballinger. She's going to be joining us to talk more about the website Bring Fido. Erin is from Bring Fido, bringfido.com. Erin, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, good morning, Rob.
Great to have you here on our Paws and Claws segment on WATD. Well, so let's talk about Bring Fido and what the mission is and how we can utilize the website, bringfido.com.
Oh, thank you so much. So Bring Fido is the world's leading pet travel and lifestyle brand. We have a website and mobile apps dedicated to connecting millions of pet owners around the globe with more than 500,000 pet-friendly places, from local restaurants, hotels and vacation rentals, dog parks, veterinarians, beaches, pretty much anywhere you would like to go, we can find somewhere where you can bring your dog with you.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so tell us about the mission and how this all came to be. So this was actually founded because of that need, right, initially?
Yes. The founder of our company, Melissa Halliburton, actually had recently graduated from MIT and Ooh. Was invited to, yeah, a local little plug there.
I think we've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and she was invited to tons of weddings over the summer, and she couldn't find a resource where she could see whether or not hotels or event venues would allow her dog. And she was, you know, she wanted to travel with her pet. And after one wedding where she got stranded on the side of the road and had to pull up to a wedding in a tow truck with her dog because she had to stay at a hotel so far away, that would actually allow a pet, she and all of her friends were like, we're going to help you with this mission of putting all of the pet-friendly places in one valuable resource. And that's how the website Bring Fido got started.
All right, bringfido.com. And so basically when you go to it, you just start typing in, you know, where you want to bring Fido, your dog, and it's by category, right? Hotels, restaurants, it says activities, events, services, destinations. So I suppose probably initially you would think first, I guess, hotels and lodging. That would be kind of the first thing that would come to mind. But I guess now we are hearing a lot more about different places and even dog-friendly restaurant policies, which, you know, you wouldn't imagine, you know, a few years ago, right?
Right. So more and more people are enjoying taking their dogs everywhere. And with the emergence of brew pubs and a lot of additional pet-friendly patio seating due to COVID restrictions, a lot of restaurants are able to accommodate people with pets, not just service animals. And in the Boston area, which is kind of a little bit later to jump on the boat, it had previously been illegal for restaurants to allow pets on patios, but the mayor has recently allowed people to start bringing their pets to patios at restaurants or brew pubs or bars to join their owners while they have a meal.
Okay. All right. So now if there are restaurants and organizations that know they allow dogs, is there a way to connect to verify through your site? I imagine, how does it work? Do you reach out to businesses or do businesses check in with you?
We have a large dedicated team of content editors who are constantly checking pet policies and seeing, you know, different places still allow pets, but we still rely a lot on user submissions and business submissions, and that's super easy on the Bring Fido website or app. People can, we have a little, it's like a plus sign, and it's called Post a Spot, and people can give us a tip of some pet-friendly places that they love to go with their pets.
Oh, okay. All right, because I was knowing one of our clients in Pembroke, I think it was Somewhere Else Tavern, I think I heard Audrey, who voiced the commercial here, saying something about, you know, going there and they would put out a little water bowl or something. And I'm pretty sure I heard it. So I'm just typing it in now into your website and it comes right up and it's got a review and it looks like a bunch of bones.
Yes, all of our brain fighter reviews are listed in bones, so you can have a one bone to five bone review, and five bones is obviously the best.
Wow, well, they got five bones so far. All right, that's great. All right, so
I
went right on somewhere else, Tavern Pembroke. So I just typed in Pembroke, so you can, you know, type in anywhere basically you're going. So if you know where, if you want to see what's around here, you can do it. Or obviously the idea as well, if you're traveling, you can figure out, you know, based on where you're planning to go, where you may want to go.
Yes, people can plug in a destination, or if they have the app downloaded on their iPhone or Android device, it also searches by your GPS location, the closest pet-friendly activities, restaurants, hotels near you.
Oh, that's
at that
great.
Moment.
That's great. How about that, Will? You thinking about that when it's time to take the family pet for a journey?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's your dog's name?
Her name is Dixie, but we typically put her in a kennel that's near, that's actually near the dump. And
Okay.
Near the dump.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is now, hearing today, is that if you guys decide, and maybe you thought before it might have been, and I imagine too, Aaron, you know, maybe some people thought, you know, oh, it's going to be a lot of hassle. You may find a lot more options by going to the website.
Ah.
Yeah, so check
that's
it out.
Right. And, you know, if you need to find somewhere for a doggy day camp or a boarding facility, those are also listed on BringFido.
BringFido.com. Erin Ballinger's been with us this morning. Erin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you here on WATD for our Paws and Claws segment. Want to take in the tall ship down in Plymouth? Don't forget.
Sure. Beautiful.
Now Trinidad. It is beautiful. It's a replica of the first ship to sail around the world. How about that?
It's pretty impressive.
Ferdinand Magellan. He went out on the now Trinidad. Unfortunately, he didn't make it, but the ship came back.
You're just making that up.
It's true. Magellan
was Portuguese.
Yeah.
This is a Spanish ship.
But wasn't he on there? Wasn't he the first one to go around the world?
Say that he's the first one to, what, circumscribe the world?
He almost did. I think, didn't he die in the Philippines? I got to look that up. I think they killed him, but the ship came back with the crew. But you can tour this beautiful ship.
I like the way you say it so casually.
It's a replica ship.
Oh, I think they killed him, but the ship came back with the crew.
The ship came back.
Thank you.
It goes on now through July 23rd. Someone look up the history and explain it to me. We've grown back to the 1500s. Who's on the Trinidad? Kristen, do you know? Was it Magellan?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what it says on Google.
Well,
and
I don't know.
Google's never wrong.
Well, I don't trust that. Well, in any event, the now Trinidad is there 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and it's now through July 23rd. So go see it, get your tickets, and don't miss out. Christine?
Well, I just looked up in Wikipedia here.
What does that say?
It says he was Portuguese, but he led the Spanish expedition of the East Indies across the Pacific Ocean 1519 to open a maritime trade route, during which he discovered the interoceanic passage, thereafter bearing his name, and achieved the first European navigation to Asia via the Pacific. Now, as to the during the voyage, he was killed in the Battle of Mactan in 1521, present-day Philippines.
Okay.
After running into resistance from the indigenous population.
They killed him.
Yeah, who consequently became a Philippine national symbol of resistance to colonialism.
Wow. Okay, so I was right. He did die at that point. Okay, so he didn't make it back, but the ship did.
Now, meanwhile, it says, after his death, Juan Sebastian Elcano took the lead of the expedition, and with a few other surviving members in one of the two remaining ships, completed the first circumnavigation of Earth when they returned to Spain in 1522.
1522 they got back. Think about that.
No cell phones, no internet.
No.
Took a shower once a century.
No robot dogs.
No robot dogs.
Yes.
I mean, back then you say, I'll see you maybe. If I'm not dead, I'll see you in a few years. Right? That's what you would say if you went on a ship, right? If you had family.
If I'm not dead, I'll see you in a few years.
I'll see you in a few years.
Yeah, maybe you could put that on your Christmas card.
Okay.
Very nice.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 95.9WATD.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 95.9WATD.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.